Juicy.
Okay, we're going to think about a Bible verse next. Can I just start with a little question? Put your hand up. It's confession time. Who's ever paid for a pedicure? Yeah, okay. It's nice. Those of you who don't know what a pedicure is, it's when you go to like the beauty salon and you get your feet all rubbed, all that hard skin comes off, and they paint them with pretty nail varnish, and it's really lovely. But it's a bit expensive, isn't it? It's mostly ladies who put their hands up. It's quite expensive. But I've got some good news for you today. There is a way that we can all have beautiful feet for free. It says so in Isaiah. So we're going to have a little look at this verse from Isaiah. So we start with beautiful. How beautiful. Caroline, you're looking beautiful today. Would you mind just standing here and holding these flowers? You don't have to say anything. So we've got beautiful. How beautiful is Caroline? Okay, but we're not thinking about Caroline this morning. How beautiful are our feet? So we have a smelly sock for some feet. Sally, would you mind holding this smelly sock? It's one of Neil's, specially for you. Now, feet go walking on mountains. Well, not my feet, but my family's feet. I get dragged along. Who likes mountain walking? Oh, Jess, brilliant. Now, these particular feet are walking on a mountain, so we've got some James's well-worn mountain boots and my pole that I need to get up the mountains. So we've got how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring... Who knows what it is? You're right. So here we've got no expense spared. The Sunday Times declaring good news. Fee, could you just hold that for me? So let's see if we can say the verse so far by looking at the picture clues. So it's how
beautiful
on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Now that's not all they bring. They proclaim peace. Now I should have had a piece of cake for this, as Peter helpfully pointed out on the way to church. But we have a white hanky for peace. I come in peace. Who'd like to wave my white hanky? Hopefully wave my white hanky. Brian can do the next one. Oh, thank you, Hope. You're a bit tired today. Good girl. Thank you very much. So, proclaim peace. And they bring good tidings. Now, this is a knot tied up to remind us of the word tide. Brian, are you going to come and hold that rope for me? So when we see the rope tied up, we think good tidings. It's basically bringing some good stories and good news. And you hold up that for me, Brian. Thank you. And the final thing that these feet bring is the gospel proclaiming salvation. I've got a good old-fashioned Bible for this one. Is there one person who could just hold up this Bible? Someone who's near the front? Pete, could you hold that for me? So now let's see if we can do our Bible verse by looking at our picture clues. So this is from Isaiah. So we've got how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, proclaim peace, bring good tidings, and proclaim salvation. Salvation. Peter's one is salvation. Right. I think we can do a bit better than that, team. Okay. Right, as I say at school, everyone sitting up straight, big voices, okay? Let's hear this Bible verse. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, proclaim peace, bring good tidings, and proclaim salvation. It's from Isaiah 52 verse 7. So remember that you can have beautiful feet by just going and telling somebody the gospel. Thank you for helpers very much indeed. Thank you, church.
Is that now? You can hear me. Great. So I'm going to, hopefully it's my job to pull all this together now, all these different things we've been doing, because we're going to be talking about connections. So hopefully I'll make it clear what these connections are. What I'm going to tell you why we should connect with other people, who that you might best connect with and how to actually do that. That's what I'm going to talk about now. I'm going to start off with a story Nikki Gumbel tells in the Alpha book. Has anyone read the Alpha book? Nobody? Okay, you should get it. It's great. Okay. Can we have John the next slide, please? And he talks about this guy called, you're one behind, Alfred McMakin. Albert McMakin. Thank you. I can't even read my own writing. This is Albert McMakin. In the 1930s, he was a young 24-year-old farmhand, this Albert McMakin. He went to an evangelistic meeting. He heard about the good news of Jesus, and he gave his life to Jesus. And he felt really different. He felt really enthusiastic and excited about being a Christian. He's a bit more excited than he looks in that picture. That perhaps was taken just before. The other thing about Albert McMakin was he had a really cool truck as well. And he was so enthusiastic about being a Christian that he wanted to invite all his friends to come along as well. But he had one particular friend who was a farmhand who worked with him. And he was a really good-looking guy. He was really interested in the girls. He wasn't interested in church at all. And Albert McMakin thought, how am I going to get him to come to that meeting? And so he had a crafty plan. He thought, I've got the truck. He probably really liked to drive this truck. He says, I'm going to ask him if he'll drive us all to the meeting in the truck, and he can drive my truck. So he asked this young, good-looking guy, he said, will you come to the meeting with me, and you can drive the truck? And that's what he did. This guy was persuaded to come because he agreed to drive the truck. And when he got to this meeting, it was like he'd been hit by a truck because God met him that night, and he suddenly had his eyes opened, and he was amazed at what was being said. And he was so amazed, he came back to the meeting the next night to hear it again. He came the next night too. And that man's name, does anyone know? Billy Graham. Billy Graham, you've heard the story. Who's the most famous evangelist? He went on to become the most famous evangelist of our time. He's died now, unfortunately. But during his life, it's estimated he managed to talk to 200 million people. And they reckon that he maybe brought up to 12 million people to know Jesus through his life. Now, we can't all be Billy Grahams. We can't all be really eloquent, stand up on a stage, be really bold with what we say. Most of us are much more frightened and afraid to do anything like that. But we can be like Albert, thank you, McMakin. We might have something that we can use to bring somebody a little bit closer to knowing Jesus. And that's exactly what today is all about, is thinking about that. Okay. And you might be wondering, well, that's not really my sort of thing. I'm praying that I want to know what God wants me to do with my life. Has anyone ever prayed that prayer? What's God going to do in my life? Nobody. I certainly have. God, what am I going to do with my life? Sometimes, you know. But if we just look in our Bible, there's loads of things that God's already told us that he wants us to do. One of the things he's told us five times, he's put it five books of the Bible. He's put it in Matthew, he's put it in Mark, he's put it in Luke, he's put it in John, he's put it in Acts. It's a little scripture called the Great Commission. And the best known one is from Matthew 28, I think. Oh, can we have the next? Thank you. So in Matthew 28, it says, therefore go, it's famous, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And the next bit, is there another bit? Oh, no, don't forget that. That's right. So that is called the Great Commission. It says, therefore go. And the great thing as well, it says that I will be with you. God will always be with us. So whenever we try and encourage somebody to get towards Jesus, we don't have to do it on our own. God is there with us, wanting, willing us along. Can we go back to that picture of this famous sport? What's this sport? It really was like one of the sports of the Winter Olympics this year. When I was preparing this talk, this picture came to me of curling. I don't know, I'm not a sporty person, but when I was thinking of the Great Commission, and it reminded me, this is what it's about, the Great Commission. God is like the big heavy puck thing. He is coming into land with certain people at certain times. It's inevitable. He's going to slide in. He's going to do what he does best because God is God. But alongside, he wants us to be like these people with the little brooms. How many of you guys up on the stage have ever swept out the guinea pig cage or a pet cage? Well done. You know what sweeping's like. It can be hard work sometimes, can't it? Can be a bit smelly, a bit messy. But God wants us to get busy sweeping, clearing the way, easing the progress of Jesus coming to meet with those people. He wants us to help clear the way and make it easy for him to come in. So we haven't got the most important job, but we've got a really important job to do at the sidelines there doing that. And God will then come through and meet with people. So Josie's verse, when we do that, when we come and we help people come to Jesus, that's where that verse, how beautiful on the mountains of the feet are those who bring good news. If we step out and try and bring good news to people, no matter how clumsily, no matter how awkwardly, no matter how feebly, then God thinks it's fantastic. He thinks we've got beautiful feet. He loves the fact we're doing that. That's what that verse is about. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So let's go on to think about who should we focus on. Obviously, the most obvious thing to say is who should we try and draw to Jesus? Is anybody who's kind of around us? But there's so many people around us. You've got the people you're going to see at school next week. You've got the people you're going to be at work with if you work at a job. You're going to have the people you knock around with, your family and friends. So there's so many people. And sometimes it can kind of be hard to know who God has got his finger on that he especially wants to draw, like Billy Graham, to himself. So one little bit of advice that I'd love to give you that works sometimes, I don't do it very often enough, is to be like in the Mission Impossible films. What happens at the beginning, guys on the stage? What happens at the beginning of every Mission Impossible film? What do they have to do? Anybody? What do they... Can we bring the next slide up? What do they have to do? They have to listen to the self-destructing tape, which is going to tell them what they've got to do. And they have to stop. They have to make a little bit of time to listen to the tape. Well, that's what we need to do. I'm going to have a drink so my mouth's dried up. We have to stop sometimes. Maybe before your week starts, in the car going to work, you could just stop for a moment and say, God, who do you want me to connect with today at work? Who do you want me to connect with in a special way? Who do you want me to focus on and put a bit of extra effort in today? I don't know if you've ever done that. But sometimes, every time, in fact, we do that, we just say to God, God, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to meet and connect with today? I think God loves that. He really honors that. And sometimes he'll put somebody's name in your heart or on your mind. What I want you to do, hopefully you've all got a piece of paper. I'd love for everyone to do this. We're going to make something with our piece of paper in a minute. So if you grab a piece of paper, Matt and Joe are going to hand out a few extra pens. I want you to write the name of one or two people you are going to meet this week, you're going to bump into this week, that you know you're going to see them, who don't go to church or aren't Christians, okay? Simple as that, just two people. So two people at your school, guys, up on the stage, come and grab a piece of paper. Do you know what these services are called, guys? These are called all-in services. And the reason is you guys are all in with us as well. That means it's just as much for you to join in. I'd love you. We're going to be making some paper aeroplanes. And there's some prizes for the best paper aeroplanes. But they do have to have some people written on those pieces of paper. Otherwise, they don't count. So if you fancy yourself as a paper aeroplane expert. So don't crease your aeroplane up. Don't crease it. That's good. Good start. Anyone want some uncreased paper? Well, have you had that one? It looks like it's been in the shredder. The dog's had it. Some of the people at the back here are thinking they're not included in the all-in service. They're trying to hide at the back.
But we're making it into a paper
You don't need to make the paper airplane quite yet. We're going to give you some help. If you're not very good, if that's not your gift, that's fine. Okay, having written a couple of people, who's written one at least one person on their sheet? Put your hand up, give me a wave. Great, Ben, I can see you up there. Some of the young people, fantastic, doing it, joining in, lovely. Someone you're going to bump into this week. If you don't want to put their name down, just put their initials or a first name or something, if you don't want everyone else to see it. Right, what we're going to look at next is how do we actually connect with those people? You've got the people on your sheet. How are we going to connect with them? The first thing I would suggest, can we have the next slide, John, please? Is think of the second great commandment God gave us. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. So the main thing is, all we have to do is to love people. And that sounds quite simple. Loving your neighbors, loving your work colleagues, loving the people at school. Some of the ways we can do that, the first way I'd suggest you can do that is to be interested in people. Do you know, these days we can be so wrapped up with ourselves, our families, our busy lifestyle, that we forget, we maybe after church beeline to the person we know, then we go home. Were we interested in anybody apart from our easy circle of friends? When you got up this morning and you went out to meet, I met three lovely new people in my group, and I didn't learn much about them, we didn't have much time, but I learned their names. I'll probably forget their names next time. That isn't important. The important thing is to be interested. You know, the main thing in life, that if you're like me, the main thing that I crave is to feel significant, to feel that someone has noticed me. And that is the best gift you could give to anybody. It's the simplest thing. You don't necessarily need to give them the whole gospel. You don't need to be a brilliant Christian. You may not even be sure if you are a Christian. But you know, the thing you can do is make someone else feel significant and important. And so being interested in people will take you an awful long way in connecting with people. In fact, it's probably one of the main things you can do with people. The second thing I'd say is to be yourself. Don't try and be the perfect super Christian. Be real, warts and all. You've probably got things in your life you're not proud about. You might have a picture of yourself in a mankini on Facebook, which sort of wasn't supposed to have got onto Facebook. Is anyone there nodding? Paul not nodding? No. You might be addicted to Love Island and realize your mistake a bit later on down the track. Okay, you've got things that mean you're not perfect. But that's okay, you are yourself. God has made you you, and so be proud of who you are. Just share yourself, okay, with other people. So be yourself, be interested in people. Remember that your life, your story, is a gift that you can give to other people. Okay, so share yourself with other people. You're not boring, you're not uninteresting, because God made you. You are really important. Okay, third thing, be different. As well as being yourself, you want to stand out and be different. In Matthew 5, the great verse says we need to shine a light on people. It says, let your light shine before people. It says a city, what's that verse? Can we have the verse, please? You are a light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it somewhere where it's going to be seen. Can we have the next bit? So let your light shine. Love that song. We should have done that this morning. So that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So your light is shining, not so that people are impressed with your words. This verse says, so that people are impressed, not with your dancing, not with your knitting. People are impressed with your good works, how much you love other people, doing good works. And the next thing is to be ready. Number four, be ready to go for God. How can we be ready this morning? Well, you've got the invites to the barbecue over to you, which you can take home this morning and invite people to do something with hospitality. Hospitality is a fantastic gift. You can invite people to EnFest. That's how you can be prepared. One little way I would say to be prepared is when you go into the week this week, The one thing people always ask me is, how was your week? What did you do at the weekend, right? And you could say, oh, it was all right. Yeah, we went to the beach and we got sunburnt, which is what we did. Or you could actually have thought of something. You could say, yeah, we went to church this morning and they were doing a service about connections. And I realized that I'm really rubbish at connecting with people. I stick in my little group and I'm going to try and get out a little bit more and meet people. And you could, what I mean is you could turn church into a reason to chat to people rather than just being embarrassed about church. The other week when we had the barbecue and we had the wet flannels going everywhere, it's fantastic. Because when people asked me about my weekend, I had loads of things to talk about with them and it made church sound cool and interesting for them. So it was a way of sweeping, ready to let God just come in like the puck in the curling, just come a little bit closer to people. It's just a little thing, but it makes a difference. Also, maybe have a time in your head when you've prayed for something and a prayer has been answered. And then if somebody asks, well, why do you believe what you believe? You can say, well, I just think it's true for me. It works for me. When we prayed something about X, Y, and Z, this thing happened to us. And that, for me, is evidence that God is real. Nobody can argue with you with a story about God's power if he's done something in your life. So make sure you remember that little story that is personal to you and have it ready in your back pocket, as it were, to share with people. So maybe be ready, and be ready to do good things, to have love in action for people, to do good works. Can we have the Bible verse, John? Ephesians chapter 2, for we are all God's handiwork, created to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you know, doing good things is not the chicken's way out of evangelism. Doing good things for people is just as important as the people who are really bold and tell people about Jesus in more obvious ways. Doing good, loving things to people is the most wonderful thing you can do. And the way we do that is with our gifts. We've been talking when we got into groups about things you were interested in, things that you had in common. I want you on your paper to think about something you're good at and write one or two things on your paper that you are good at, okay? Do it now. It could be a tiny little thing. I'll give you an example. I said to Josie, on my list I had opening jam jar lids, and I thought everyone would think it was funny, and Josie said, that's really trivial, it trivializes the whole thing. And I thought afterwards, I thought, yeah, it does, but it's kind of, what can we do with a jam jar lid? I can't open jam jar lids. Josie's really good at it. She's got really strong hands. Well, you could go around, a lot of old people, I'm amazed they can open anything, bottle of lemonade, opening their bread. You can go around and help someone if you're good at opening things. Who here is good at parallel parking? Anybody good at parallel parking? Come on, have a boast. Caroline, good at parallel. Beautiful and good at parallel parking, Caroline. No wonder you got snapped up years ago. But parallel parking means if you want to take someone, give someone a lift to the hospital or into town who hasn't got a vehicle, means you love driving. You like driving. You love parking. You like showing off your parallel parking. Well, use that gift to do something good for somebody who doesn't come to church. Do you get the idea? Is any gift is important to God if you raise it up to him. What was Peter's story about? It was about the boy with the lunchbox. He didn't have anything classy or funny or clever or beautiful to offer to Jesus that day. But Jesus said, what's that in your hand? He said, I've got a lunchbox. He didn't even have the falafels with the fancy avocado wraps from an M&S. All he probably had was, he had a sardine sandwich, basically. He had some fish and some bread. It wasn't very flashy. But the thing was, he offered it up to God. And God transformed it and multiplied it into something amazing. And, you know, that's totally what it's about today. So what you've put on your sheet, you might not think it's that important or clever, but I bet you if you pray about it, a situation will come when you use that thing on your sheet to bless somebody. So has everybody written a talent on their piece of paper, on their aeroplane? Yeah? Brilliant. I think we're going to leave it there then, and we're going to move on and do something with our aeroplanes. But before that, Suzette is going to show us what we've been doing at the back today. Wow. Wow.